Wings of Chaos, Chapter 27, Whispers in the Dark. Chael turned as she ran for the door and shot an arrow back, hitting one of the cultists. The men were scrambling back, trying to reach the portal where Resmir had escaped. Past her flew an orange blur, and she turned to see, blessedly, Reverend sprinting through the door flanked by three lizard people. "Hi," the tiefling said back to her. The lizard folk ran in and began attacking the cultists, heaving spears and javelins. One of Philip's two spiders was brought down, and the other lashed out angrily for its fallen ally. Next to it floated Ozarin Spectre, who drove his sword through another enemy. They were quickly overtaking the cultists. Keelan was still barely on his feet, constantly being knocked back, his wounds stitching together by Philip's healing spirits flittering over him. Whisper looked to be in poor shape and was flanked by two cultists. The taller of the two hit him over the back of the head, and the tabaxi fell. The other scrambled to grab him by the feet and started dragging him toward the alcove. Chael turned her bow to the man and shot him with an arrow. The man fell, and Whisper's legs hit the floor limply. With Reverence's help, they were able to divide the rest and take them out individually. If Resmir hadn't fled, the fight would have gone much worse for them. As it were, they prevailed. Rather than killing the final man, Ozarin knocked him unconscious and tied the man's hands. He went over to the ethered Borngrey next and bound and gagged him. Without ceremony, Reverence went to Whisper's unconscious form and began digging through his robes with a determined look on his face. The lizard men watched with interest. "What are you doing?" Philip asked, sounding exhausted as he stepped under his own healing spirit, a spot of blood on his forehead healing up. "Looking for what's mine," Reverence growled. He was looking for his amulet. Philip flicked a hand and the healing spirit hovered over Whisper and the tabaxi stirred. Cursing, Reverence stood and shot Philip an angry glare.
"Reverence, what do you want?"
Whisper asked, rubbing the back of his head and staring up at Reverence.
"I'm taking back what's mine."
Whisper stood to his full height, and Reverence looked about to knock him back down.
"Give me the amulet," Reverence said seriously.
"No,"
the wizard said. "The portal," Keelan said over the argument, and Chael looked over at him and nodded. The paladin and ranger ran for the alcove and through it, letting Reverence and Whisper's fight dissolve from their ears. The small tunnel opened into a small room with a circular stone platform in the ground, with a border etched in glowing blue runes. The room looked ancient and was carved with intricate patterns. Chael could feel the magic pulsating within the moment they'd stepped inside. Mist coalesced on the ground and seemed to swirl and emanate from the platform. Philip appeared behind them a moment later.
"The portal," the druid said.
Chael and Keelan nodded.
"How do you think it works?" she asked.
"Maybe a word," Keelan suggested.
"Or you have to touch something in the circle?"
Philip shrugged.
"Our proper spellcasters should be the one to look at it. You know, the ones who read all the books."
Chael had to agree. "Ozarin might know," she said, knowing nothing would draw Whisper and Reverence from their argument for the moment. Philip called for Ozarin, and the warlock came through looking harried.
"We've two prisoners we need to interrogate about the cult, and the lizard people have just left."
"Look at the portal," Chael said.
"Do you know how it works?"
Ozarin finally seemed to notice the room, and began to pace around it carefully, his eyes glazing to green as he searched for traces of magic. Sensing the investigation would take a while, Chael left the alcove and saw Whisper hesitantly handing the amulet back to Reverence, who snatched it out of his hand and immediately placed the chain around his neck and tucked it into his robes. The skull rested over his chest, where it had before tried to burrow through his flesh.
"Don't use it,"
Whisper warned him, but the tiefling ignored him and spun on his heel to find Ozarin. Chael pointed him to the warlock and came through to search the room. In the corner lay stone platforms with a coffin in the center of them. She went there first and knocked on the top of the stone slab. She couldn't sense an undead presence except for that of Ozarin's specter, who floated lazily in the center of the room, awaiting further instruction from his master. On the walls around the coffin were stone reliefs of skeletal dragons with tattered wings outspread. There were no carvings of Tiamat here. She brushed off a layer of dust from the coffin and saw draconic symbols.
"Whisper,"
she called to the tabaxi.
"What does it say?"
He stepped over lightly and examined the surface.
"Here lies Strongor Bonebinder, Bonebinder, she said aloud. The name tasted sour on her tongue. Looks like it's been opened recently. She pointed out the marks on the side of the coffin where dust had been pushed away. She pressed her body against it and started to shift the stone. Seeing what she was doing, Whisper pushed his body against it as well, and the stone shifted and scraped until they'd moved it a foot away. Shale coughed at the dust and saw a human skeleton carefully laid out on a bed of stone. Its arms folded over its sternum as though it had been holding something. Looks like something must have been taken, she said, and Whisper nodded and began inspecting the body with careful paws flitting about. She turned at the sound of a loud clattering and saw across the room that Philip had explored and found crates of gold and gems and had pushed them over and began sorting through them. Look what I found, Keelan said, trotting over from Valaxrum's fallen body and holding up a smooth white stone. He passed it to Whisper, who took a break from the skeleton to turn the stone over in his paws.
Ascending stone, he declared. Its twin is out there somewhere. Only the two can communicate.
Keelan nodded in interest and pocketed the stone, then went to take Borngrey's sword, which Ozrin had kicked aside when the elf went down. He admired the workmanship of the fine elvish blade. We shouldn't stay here, Shale warned, suddenly aware of the coldness of the place and the depths of the stone above them.
We have people to interrogate, Reverend said.
How are things upstairs? Shale asked. You were able to get the gate closed, I presume? The monk shrugged.
I was able to fill it with Bullywug corpses. So, yes, in a manner of speaking.
I've suppressed the portal for now, Ozrin announced, emerging from the alcove. It's a temporary solution, I'm afraid. Magic of this magnitude cannot be dispelled. How does it work? Philip asked from his corner, now raking gold into bags. Shale wasn't sure how the druid planned to get all the riches back to the castle above.
It needs a command word to function.
He glanced over at the two unconscious prisoners, then looked to Reverence.
Can we get it from them?
Happily, Reverence said darkly. Whisper, dig two holes, Ozrin said, pointing to areas in the stone floor where the ground was broken up from centuries of erosion. Keelan, can you lower them each down so we don't wake them? Philip, bring up the rest of those larger crates so we can cover the holes with wooden slats. Reverence, what do you need from us? How do you want to interrogate them? Borngrey is second in command to Resmir, and he's been running the castle. The cultists came through the portal with Resmir and may have heard the command word.
Reverence said, First, I will interrogate the cultist. Then I work on Borngrey. I will look beaten and worn and pretend to be a cultist myself and talk to him as a fellow prisoner.
Ozrin nodded thoughtfully, and Whisper began pulling up large portions of dirt and stone and displacing it with magic. When done, the tabaxi nodded at the floating specter.
When will you send him away?
The warlock sighed and walked to stand in front of the imprisoned soul. The ghostly man stared back unhappily.
Thank you for your service, though I know it was not of your own volition, Ozrin said, raising a hand. I release you from our bond.
The specter tilted his head and gave a dark look, then closed his eyes, and the body dispersed. Shale felt immediate relief. The tension in her chest she'd only just noticed finally relaxed. She breathed deeply and went to stand by Philip, who was now separating gems by size.
Can I help? She asked. I don't want to take part in the...
She trailed off.
Torture? The half-elf asked.
She nodded, and he pointed to an overturned crate that had been too broken to use for roofing on the prisoner's holes.
Rubies, emeralds, and any of the larger gems in this bag.
He tossed her a leather satchel, which she caught and began dividing the riches. Feeling at peace, Reverence leapt into the dark hole and landed in front of the kneeling black-cloaked prisoner. He tore the man's bone mask from his face and tossed it aside, staring into his gray-green eyes with contempt. The man had just awoken and had to squint to bring the tiefling into view. A nasty gash on his head, dealt by Ozrin, was likely cause for a headache. Reverence took slivers of wood from his robe and wrenched the man's hands up uncomfortably where they were tied at his back. He grunted, and the tiefling took a single, thumb-sized sliver and slowly inserted it beneath the index nail. The man grunted again, and he stuck the wood deeper, drawing blood. There was a crack as he burrowed the splinter, and the man screamed horribly when the nail cracked. He took a second bit of wood and worked on the next nail, then the next, until all five on the man's one hand were soaked in blood. The man screamed, and his body shook despite his effort to hold back from the pain, but Reverence ignored the cries. He focused on the work until it was done. Now, the tiefling finally said, standing and walking around the man whose shoulders were hunched in agony.
Tell me about your job in the cult.
The man had gone quiet. It would be a long time before he could use his dominant hand, if ever again. He shuddered and took a few long breaths, composing himself, then looked up at Reverence and spat.
My job is to die for the Queen.
What an unfortunate job. Reverence crossed his arms. Where are the cult's headquarters?
Do your worst, the man growled. I'm not telling you anything.
You've seen bad, but you haven't seen my worst, the monk warned. With that, he climbed the rope out of the hole and threw the rest of the slats off the top. He demanded a shovel, which Whisper instantly conjured, and the tiefling began to shovel piles of dirt onto the man's head. The man did not react. He simply bent his head to keep the dust from his eyes as more piles fell atop it. Reverence paused and tried to search the man's mind, grasping his amulet and digging in, but the man resisted. A stone wall inside his mind kept him out. So the cult trained at least some of their men against torture.
I can help, Whisper said, gesturing to the shovel.
Reverence nodded, and the tabaxi lifted the remainder of the dirt and dropped it around the man, pulling him up simultaneously with his spell until the man was buried to the neck. Reverence sat cross-legged across from him and tried again to penetrate his mind. The man grimaced, but there was no reaching him.
So, Reverence sighed, you will tell me nothing.
Nothing, the man said. The tiefling stared for a while, then stood and walked behind him, pulling out a dagger and crouching into the dirt to whisper in the man's ear.
The cult has killed innocent people.
With that, he slid the dagger across the man's exposed neck, cutting deeply to the spine and spilling crimson in a gurgling burst of final, gasping breaths that reached no conclusion. He stood and looked to his companions, the ones who were watching, the warlock, the paladin, and the wizard.
He knew nothing, Reverence declared. Let's move on to the next one.
I want to look abused, Reverence said. That way, Borngrey will think I am a prisoner.
I can make you look beat, Philip offered, he and Shale having packed up the rest of the treasure.
He took out his disguise kit and spent the next minutes changing Reverence's face to look bruised and bloodied. Reverence took a black cultist cloak from one of the bodies and draped it over his own robes, pinning it closed.
A few broken fingers wouldn't do amiss.
Reverence wiggled his hands.
I'm going upstairs, Philip announced, packing up his kit. How are you going to transport all that gold? Keelan asked in surprise.
The druid shrugged.
I can change into a warhorse to carry it all, if you'll help me load the bags.
Why not wait here until the interrogations are finished? Ozern asked.
No offense, Philip raised a hand, but I'm exhausted, and torture isn't exactly my favorite way to wind down.
I'll go with you, Shale quickly offered, Trigger and I. You shouldn't travel back on your own.
In truth, she was also exhausted, and did not have the stomach for more of Reverence's schemes. The more she learned of her companions, the more uneasy she felt about the lot of them. A paladin who burns himself, a warlock who enslaves souls, a wizard who has no side on which to plant his allegiance, and a monk who tortures men. It seemed the druid was, surprisingly, the most normal of the bunch. She admired the paladin, and could excuse some of his zealotry on his youth, and she understood some of the nature of Ozern's pact, but the other two were inexplicable. Keelan helped them load the bags onto Philip's back once he was transformed, and he, Shale, and Trigger left without another word, winding their way back through the tunnels and up into the castle. They met no trouble along the way.
So, Reverence began in a tired voice, looking across at the newly awakened Borngrey, who was bound and gagged. The tiefling had just been kicked into the hole by Ozern, the slats pulled up over the hole but leaving enough light for them to see each other. His hands were bound in front of him, and he inched forward, pretending to be pained as he did so, and pulled down the elf's gag.
What's your role in the cult?
He asked, leaning back against the wall so they sat across from one another. Borngrey eyed him as the gag left his mouth and said,
Well, I run the castle from one.
Ah,
Reverence nodded knowingly.
And what is your role?
The elf asked suspiciously.
I have recently arrived, he said slowly, maintaining eye contact.
I don't see many tieflings about. New recruit?
Something like that,
the tiefling said.
Interesting first day.
Borngrey was testing him. Reverence shrugged and waited a full minute before asking his next question. He cleared his throat first, deliberately.
Have they questioned you yet?
Borngrey shook his head.
First time being captured?
He paused, then said,
No. You?
Third, the elf barked humorously. They won't break me. Others have tried and failed, and these people have no idea what they're doing.
Well, I hope we can escape before it comes to that.
Reverence eyed the elf. How do I know I can trust you?
I'm the one Resmir came to help, he said. I run the castle in Ostead, as you know. But how do I know I can trust you, nameless cultist?
I kept Resmir's secrets, even in torture.
He nodded thoughtfully.
Well, we're in this together, I suppose.
So how many of them did you see up there?
They didn't let me see, the monk told him. Only one of them did the torturing, broke my fingers.
He held up his hands, where Reverence had insisted Ozarin break them, assuring him that he could handle it and they could heal him after.
Did you see a way out?
Reverence shook his head.
Surprise is our best bet.
Borngrey shifted in his bonds and said,
Well,
we can start with this. With a flash, a sword appeared in his hands, immediately cutting the ropes and freeing him. He held up the elvish blade, smiling. Keelan, who had been studying Borngrey's sword where he stood guard near the pit, looked up as it vanished.
Everyone?
Ozarin turned on his heel, seeing the paladin's empty hands.
Get ready, the warlock warned.
With a sigh, Keelan withdrew his own longsword and held it aloft, waiting. Borngrey motioned to Reverence, and the tiefling held up his hands. He cut the ropes and rubbed his wrists.
Now we wait for one of them to come down. Then we kill them all.
The elf sat on the ground and rested his longsword over his lap, a look of patience resting over his face. Reverence eyed the blade.
Ever thought of using a real weapon?
Borngrey chuckled. And what's your weapon of choice?
You'll see,
the monk smirked, and sat next to Borngrey.
They're not coming out, Keelan hissed.
Ozarin stepped over to the pit and held up a hand, a spell spilling over the prisoners' heads and freezing them in place. Pull the elf out, the warlock ordered, gesturing for them to cover their faces with the stolen cultist masks. Keelan kicked the wood aside and jumped down, manhandling the elf and pushing him up to Whisper and Ozarin, who dragged him. Keelan grabbed the sword and threw it out of the pit, then clambered out himself. Ozarin began kicking the paralyzed elf. He felt a few ribs crack before punching his face and thoroughly bloodying him. The elf moaned and started to shift as he fought the spell, and Ozarin grabbed him roughly by the shoulders and cast him back into the pit. They all heard the snap as his leg broke. Borngrey's breathing was labored as he crawled to the wall and limped his way to a standing position, staring back at them with an angry glare. A shard of bone protruded from his shin. They returned the wooden slats to the top of the pit, then stepped out of view. Ozarin dropped the spell from Reverence. The monk immediately leapt at the elf and grabbed him by his jerkin.
What did you tell them?
He demanded loudly, eyes flashing red. Hiding the physical pain well, Borngrey shoved Reverence's hand away.
I was out there for 10 seconds, he snapped.
Obviously, that's all they needed, the monk growled, stepping back. What did you tell them?
Borngrey was pale, his face sweaty, but he steadied his jaw. Reverence jumped forward again and clenched his broken fingers into a fist, punching him across the face with all his strength.
What in the 9 hells?
He swore as he took the hit and stumbled back on his broken legs.
We're in this together, no?
He growled, his face growing dangerously cold as he summoned his sword. It flashed into existence and arced at the monk. But Reverence easily danced back and Borngrey was too unsteady on his feet to reach him.
That's not what it sounds like, Reverence hissed back, louder this time. What did you tell them?
I told you, Borngrey panted, looking as if he were about to faint from blood loss. This isn't my first prison.
Ignoring him, Reverence attacked again, moving under his unsteady blade and punching him in the side. Borngrey grunted where his cracked ribs were impacted. Reverence moved back again.
Look at me. Look at you,
the tiefling said, circling.
Why haven't they killed you?
They want information, the elf spat. Foolish initiate.
Reverence slowed, dropping his fists.
I was sent here on an important mission for the cult.
His eyes hardened.
Listen here, initiate. You don't tell me who's doing the bidding of the Dragon Queen. You don't get to where I am by being loose with words. I told them nothing.
Reverence nodded brusquely.
Then how do we get out of here?
Borngrey paused, watching the tiefling, his sword wavering in his hand before he lowered the tip to the ground.
I think we're past that. Either we die now or we let them torture us to death.
Neither of us are going to talk.
He
He stared again, reading the tiefling's face for any reactions. Reverence remained stoic.
If I get us up there, then what?
Then we fight, he said.
There were only three up there that I could see.
And then we use that portal.
He paused. I have an urgent message to bring back to them. If you don't make it, then how will I get through?
He looked down at the elf's broken leg, then reached into the black cultist robes, where underneath he wore the robe of patches given to him by Oin. He ripped a patch free and threw it to the ground, where it instantly transformed into a ladder. Borngrey raised an eyebrow at him appraisingly, then nodded.
Impressive.
Not all of us, Reverence pointed to the longsword. Need a silly sword.
A mission is the most important thing. If you reach the portal without me...
Borngrey took a long, deep breath, steadying himself as he straightened.
Then the word is Drazia. That will take you to the lodge. From there, the castle in the sky.
Very well, Reverence said, shifting a shoulder under the elf's arm and helping him to the ladder.
For Tiamat.
For Tiamat, Borngrey responded, clutching the rung and beginning to climb with difficulty. He peered over the hole and summoned his sword, climbing over the edge and swinging his blade. The elf tried to push past Keelan while swinging wildly. Keelan spun in surprise at the conjured ladder. Reverence jumped from the pit a second later and slammed a fist into Borngrey's spine, stunning him with a reverberating spell. Whisper released three tiny missiles that zoomed and planted into the elf's frozen back and dropped him. They all rushed over and stood looking down at the body.
Did you get it? Ozurin asked.
Reverence nodded and grinned, flashing his sharp incisors.
Found out the password and the location of their headquarters. A castle in the sky.
Ozurin nodded.
Keelan, can you heal him?
Keelan sheathed his sword. Why would I want to do that?
We could still get more information from him about the cult, the warlock said.
I don't think he will tell us any more. He's not a man to be broken.
Whisper bent and pulled out the tiny darts in his back and began to bandage them.
I think we should kill him, the paladin said. He's evil.
We should imprison him, Ozurin insisted.
Keelan bent and picked up the elf's dropped sword, eyeing it approvingly.
I want this sword. If we imprison him, he'll keep bringing it back to his side.
The warlock looked at his companions unhappily. Whisper offered no suggestions, but Reverence and Keelan both seemed convinced.
We should keep a prisoner for the Harpers, Ozurin told the tiefling pointedly.
Reverence shook his head.
We're not going to travel another 2 weeks back to Waterdeep. We have a more important mission ahead.
Ozurin huffed, but Keelan and Reverence shared a look. And the paladin bent and put an end to Borngrey once and for all. He wiped his new sword clean on the back of the elf's black robes and placed it at a sheath.
Let's go, he said, and started toward the door. We can talk about the portal after we've all had a good rest.
Shaelin Phillips spoke with Snapjaw, and the druid was able to negotiate a fair portion of the gold, except for that which the lizard folk wished to present as tribute to the Black Death, their dragon patron. Shale worried over their inability to find the sought-after book, and Snapjaw pointed them to a library that had yet to be explored. Philip asked Snapjaw to relay to the Black Death that they would need to travel further to find the book and ring, and hoped the dragon would understand. The lizard's leader warned the dragon was impatient, but promised he would speak on their behalf. The lizard folk had decided to stay as permanent residents of the castle. Philip went upstairs and found a bedroll. Shale waited for the return of her companions, anxious to tell Ozurin of the library and to speak with him in privacy about his patron of death. In the passing hour, Shale sat with Trigger, stroking his fur and staring at the stone wall, deep in thought. She only broke from her reverie when she heard the lizard people welcoming the rest of her companions upstairs. She found Ozurin, and after a quick recount of the information Borngrey gave them, she pulled him aside.
I need to know, Shale said seriously, walking him toward the library. Is this the first time you've done that thing? You know, where you push the soul out of somebody?
She made the motion of slamming her hand into an invisible chest. The warlock looked over at her as they walked, his face looking guilty.
I mean, I didn't mean for it to go that far. And no, I've never done it before.
He swallowed.
It happened in the heat of battle.
I understand that, Shale said truthfully.
And I trust you, Ozurin. That's why I felt I could ask. Where's this patron of yours leading you?
Ozurin sighed. I serve the Raven Queen, he told her. She'd heard the name before, though it was vague to her. I've only heard her a few times. That's why I'm looking for books. If I could translate these
messages that she's left behind. He trailed off and rolled up his singed sleeve to reveal his snake tattoo, the one that glowed with his spells. She gave me this, and my sword, and I think that silver raven statue we found at Dragonspear Castle. If I can find out what it all means, then maybe it's something I can escape. Shale remained quiet as they entered through the small temple room they'd snuck into before, with the wooden statue of Tiamat at the center. They continued to a second door and found the library within its row of dusty bookshelves and unused oil lamps.
This thing inside of me, Ozarin said finally. It's not something I can understand yet, but I'm trying. I swear to you, Shale, I don't feel good about what I've done.
There was a pleading look in the half-elf's eyes, and she felt a tightness in her chest, a nervousness of things to come. I trust you, she said again, and before turning to leave, added, Ozarin? He looked up.
Will you teach me to speak Draconic?
He looked confused, but nodded. She thanked him, then stepped out of the library and went to find a bed. Shale was wakened in the middle of the night by Reverence.
Come with me,
he hissed, and she followed him out, seeing he'd woken everyone but Whisper and was now leading them into a private room.
What's this about? Keelan asked, glancing back.
I think you know,
Reverence said, seating himself on a windowsill as they all found chairs or places of wall on which to lean on. Shale remained standing. Whisper, she said, tilting her head. She'd been waiting for this conversation for a long while. Reverence nodded and cleared his throat.
It's time we made a decision on what to do with the Tabaxi.
Keelan sighed heavily as Reverence began his speech. The argument went on into the night until finally, unsatisfied, they all returned to their bedrolls and sleep found them. In the morning, the tension had grown so taut it was near bursting, a wedge that left room for a great divide amongst the members of their party. Shale felt it was only a matter of time before the stream bed eroded the rock beneath, and they were in freefall. The following day was spent exploring the remainder of the castle. Shale helped Ozarin pick a few locks in the library, and they found one book that interested Whisper and Ozarin, titled The Dark Sermons of Strongor Bonebinder. The spine of the book had barely kept together. The name matched the one on the tomb and spoke of experiments and research of dragons. Ozarin pointed out an experimental recipe for bringing dead dragons back to life, a sentiment that chilled Shale's spine. They also discussed the timestamps of the Black Death's movements through the swamp, and concluded the possibility that the dragon was teleporting. Once they'd moved on from the library, they spent a while combing through Resmir's chambers and found a locked wardrobe with a dangerous chemical trap to keep out intruders. They managed to retrieve another book, this one relating to artifacts and the Queen of Dragons. Ozarin read a passage about the colored masks of the Worm Speakers, and Shale was reminded of the black mask Resmir wore when they saw her coming through the portal. There was speculation within the books that the masks were used to control Tiamat. If not that, then at least to control the dragons. They found a few valuable black dragon statues, which Shale took to later show to Philip. Finally, Whisper found a vial and handed it to Shale.
If you drink it, it will bring you to an ethereal plane for 1 hour.
I don't even know what that means, she said, taking it and carefully tucking it away. Whisper shrugged, and Shale left to find Philip in the Great Hall, stuffing their crate full of gems. While the crate was not in its boat shape, it could carry a large amount of goods. She gave him the statues and he added them to the wealth. She walked to the castle alone and found Keelan converting the shrine to Tiamat into one for Kossuth and was passionately proselytizing to the lizard folk, some of whom seemed mildly interested. They made preparations for their travels and spent another night in the castle. In the morning, Keelan summoned his warhorse Ember and they took the path back down into the caves. They arranged themselves over the portal. Shale felt anxious and drew her blades, unsure of where this lodge would be. They could arrive surrounded by enemies. They could be dead in a few minutes. She took a deep breath and called Trigger to stand next to her. The fox sat on his haunches, completely unaware of where they would go next. Sometimes she envied his ignorance.
Ready? Ozarin asked.
Everyone remained quiet, but nodded. Reverend stepped last onto the portal, closed his eyes, and breathed the word in Draconic.
Drazir.
The word hissed and echoed, and suddenly everything seemed to spin. Shale steadied herself, feeling as though her feet might fly out from under her at any moment. Trigger yelped, and the spinning stopped, just as it had begun. Everything was blindingly white, and it took a moment for her eyes to adjust from the darkness of the caves they'd left behind.
The air was frigid, and there was a howling wind. Shale looked around the platform and saw they were atop a mountain, surrounded by pine woods. The air was freezing, their vision obscured by a rushing blizzard. Around the portal were broken stones. Other abandoned portals. She took a step forward into the wintry world, the icy chill creeping into her bones, and felt she may never feel warmth again. End of part two. This was the conclusion of part 2 of 3 of the Wings of Chaos series. For the next couple of weeks, I will be taking a break, and then we'll resume with part 3 of the Wings of Chaos. Wings of Chaos is a fantasy story written by me and based on the Horde of the Dragon Queen D&D campaign. For more stories by me, visit the link in my show notes. Thanks so much for listening.